Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Dr. Happy, and I am getting there. Amen. I'm almost there. Praise God, because I'm happy, happy, happy that I can be here and do this on my own. Praise God, have my own mind, be in my own being. Amen. In my room. Praise God. I am happy to be here. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I am your host, and I am hoping that tonight you will grab something from this wonderful, wonderful lesson that God has laid on my heart to share on tonight. I hope you will be encouraged. I hope that you will learn something. You will be educated. It may not be a brand new topic, but I'm hoping it's one that you are definitely going to sink your teeth into and learn a little bit more about so that you can be empowered to do what God has called you to do. Amen. And so that is the focus for Empowered to Change. Blog Talk Radio is to encourage, to educate, and to empower all to the glory of God. And so we do have a whole lot to talk about on tonight, so we want to go ahead and get started. I always try to start with an upbeat song because, praise God, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And then I always want to make sure that I thank those of you that may have just tuned in for the very first time. So if this is your very, very first time logging onto the broadcast, I welcome, welcome, welcome you, and thank you for tuning in. Praise God. As I said, the mission and the focus is to encourage, to educate, and empower. And so we pray that you will have one of those, if not all of those, by this power of this hour of power that we will allow God to move and have free reign. And so welcome, welcome, welcome. For those of you that have been, we praise God for 7 years, moving into eight. I am very excited because of your prayers, because of your encouragement, because of your empowerment. I am able to continue to do what I do and to do it cheerfully and not begrudgingly by no means of the Mansion Nation. I am excited every week that I am able to do the broadcast, and I know that I do a lot of that because of your prayers and your encouragement, and so I thank you, and I will always give you a shout-out for that. And then I always give a major shout-out to the Omega Ministry, because without them, praise God, I wouldn't have known that this platform would have been even something that I would even pursue, praise God. But praise God, 7 years ago, almost eight, they gave me an opportunity, and they've been pushing me ever since. And so I'm grateful that God has blessed them to not only push me, but push others to do what God has called us all to do, and that is to do our assignment, our God-given assignments, and that is to teach and to share the gospel. So I will always call out Jesse and Tammy Store and thank them for their blessings and their wonderful, wonderful example. Now, the biggest praise has to go to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. He's our Father. He's your Father. Even if you don't know it, He is our Father. And so we always, like I say, start out greeting everybody, go into prayer before we go into our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for your resources. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the things that you have placed on this planet that helps us become better stewards, to become better examples, to become disciples for you. We thank you, Father, that we had no clue what you was doing in the very beginning and what you did in the very beginning, how it would affect us today. And so for that, we say thank you. We thank you that you allowed all the stories and the history and all the things that happened in the very beginning to be examples for us to live by today, and that somebody recorded it and thought enough to put it in print. And then it may not be a word for word or exactly how we think it should have been written, but you knew best, because you have all power and you have everything you could possibly have needed then, yesterday, tomorrow, and even thousands of years from now. And so, Father, for that, we say thank you. We thank you for your word that you left us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you provided for us. But most importantly, Father, we thank you for providing a way, operate, and the protection to operate in the giftings, because you sent your Son to die on the cross for our behalf. We thank you, Father. We didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. And so because of that, we say thank you. Because of that, we live and have our being. And so we say thank you. Whether we understand it completely or not, we still say thank you. Because if it hadn't been done, we wouldn't even have an opportunity to look it up, to figure out, to understand. So we just thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for knowledge. And we thank you, Father, for being who you are in us, to us, through us, and for us. Father, we can't thank you enough. We don't have enough tongues. We don't have enough hands or feet. We don't even have enough body parts to give you all the praise you deserve. And so we just thank you, Father, for this hour. We thank you for allowing us to be able to get the goodies that you have for us on tonight. And we pray, Father, that we won't keep it, that we won't become fat Christians, that we will share the word that you've given so that someone else can be delivered and set free. And so we just thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's in Jesus' name that I acknowledge you are the vine and that I'm just a branch. And without you, I can do absolutely nothing. But with you, praise God, we're going to do this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, praise God, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killingsworth, Empowered to Change, Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so I have to say, for those of you that know my current situation, it was starting to look a little bleak a couple of hours ago. And God blessed me with just one word, and that was rest. And I'm like, oh, I still have time, don't I? Absolutely, rest. So praise God, I took me a little nap, amen, and God lined all my pages up. I didn't even realize it. I was organizing my desk, and all my pages were in order. And so when I opened my eyes and looked down, I thought, Lord, you are amazing. I love you, and I know that's why you have given me this assignment to teach and why you give me the excitement that you give, because you do so much for all of us. Because I know this ain't just for me, praise God. I know this is for many of us that are listening on tonight, not just tonight, but those that will listen even on the back and prior broadcast. This will be an inspiring word because it is an on-time word, because it was an in-time word for me. And so a couple days ago, a friend of mine asked, she said, Leah, what have you learned from this process? And it stumped me a little bit because for me, nothing. Because I know that I'm tired and I don't want to do this no more. And I don't understand why it's taking as long as it's taking. And so it was nothing. Probably knew it wasn't absolutely nothing. But I didn't really give much thought to it because I was frustrated. I didn't want to think, well, I'm doing this for no lesson because I got too many testimonies. I don't need no more testimonies. I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful every morning I wake up. I ain't trying to be that crazy. I'm grateful for them. But I'm talking about this stuff that I'm going through. I don't need – I'm on fire for you already, Lord. I'm already pushing. So please show me if there is a lesson. What would you miss out this? What am I supposed to gather or grasp from this? Because I don't understand. And some things I recognize I'm not going to understand. And I'm good with God knowing he could do and be and say and do whatever he wants to do because he's God. I'm good with that. I'm good with being where I'm supposed to be, where I'm supposed to be, and when I'm supposed to do it. I don't question God for those kind of things because I trust him. I believe him. I've read enough. And like I said, I have too many testimonies. What they say, I got a bag of chips, Pepsi, candy, Mike and Ike, all the candy, everything I need, I got it because I know who God is. But what could I possibly grasp from this process, especially when I was supposed to launch my ministry this month? So, Lord, what? And so one of the gentlemen, praise God, that God has blessed to be in my corner to be a prayer warrior and watcher for me, said to me, way before we started this process, he said, Leah, you know the enemy is coming and he's going to stir up some stuff. So you got to be prayed up and you got to be watching. And I'm like, yeah, I know that already. But praise God, I didn't quite understand what he meant. Now I do. But I didn't expect it to come this way. I knew it was going to be some challenges because the devil is the devil and he doesn't want us to walk in the things of God, definitely not have victory. And so I knew that I would have some challenges, but didn't quite understand the challenges would be like this, praise God, because I thought, remember I talked about it a little bit last week, self-centeredness, I thought that I had enough under my belt, that I had enough prayer, that I had enough word, that I've been studying quite a bit. I have quite a few degrees in ministry, so I know what I'm supposed to know to do what I'm supposed to do. But God had to check me too and help me understand a few things. And so when that question came to me, what is God trying to get you to see in this? I mean, in my self-righteous mind, it was nothing because I know what to do. I know that I'm going to come across some opposition. I know that the devil is not happy. I know that I'm going to have some opposition. I know that things are not going to run as smoothly as I would like for them to. Because it's not supposed to, because I know that the enemy doesn't want the word to go forth. I know that. So I was prepared in my mind for those kind of things. However, I didn't realize that God has been lining up me I mean, I've been ministering, but didn't realize a lot of those things I was ministering was for me. And it's interesting, those of you that minister, those of you that teach, those of you that share, when we prepare our lessons, we're preparing our lessons for our audience, for those that we are under our voices. We not necessarily are looking to pull information for ourselves. And if we get hit sometimes, then amen. Ooh, Lord, thank you. That was great. And we keep it moving. But didn't know that God had been preparing me for such a time as this long back in June of last year, lining me up, allowing me to study certain things, putting things before me, classes I had to teach the children, the adults, ministry, sermons, whatever it was that God was preparing for me. I didn't realize that all of that was to get into my heart, to have into my heart, to heart it into my knowing. Now, for those of you that also know me, I ran from the devil for a long time. I ran really from God, but I didn't want to talk about the devil. I didn't want to talk about demonic stuff. I didn't want to talk about things that was bumpy and scary in the night because I was scared of the dark too, praise God. But when he delivered me and set me free from being scared of the dark, my mentor at the time told me that is where God is calling you. To spiritual warfare, to calling you to that area, and you have to be watchful. You have to be alert because now that you are not afraid anymore, now that you know who covers you, now that you know who has your goals, your dreams, your desires, your blessings, your assignment, praise God, you are going to have to make sure that you are prepared. Well, amen. God, in my heart, knew that I was scared, true enough, still scared. So, amen, I knew I didn't have to do too much of that because I knew I wasn't going in the deep waters like that. Anyway, surface, just teach and keep it moving. Didn't know that God was going to be moving me into warfare. And so in order for you to go into whatever you're going to be teaching and dealing with, you got to have some experience. You have to have some strikes. You have to have some know-how so that when you're testifying and you're ministering to people, you can tell people, this ain't something I read. This is something I know. And so when we get to the topic of COVID, didn't quite understand because I knew I was covered in the blood. And I knew, just like most of us walk in anointment and oil and grease and line ourselves up and wear the gloves and the mask, and do all the things that are right and necessary to do, it still confused me how those of us that walk the closest, at least I would think, now I'm not claiming to be one of them people, the name I'm about to say is one of them people. I was confused how Fred Price, my evidence man, my faith walking man, how he succumbed to COVID. And so I began to really think about what that lady said to me. Leah, what is the lesson you are supposed to learn in this? What did God give you a mouthpiece to share to people to help them better understand why things happen to certain people that we don't quite understand? How there are no differences between how saved you are, how unsaved you are, how close you are to God or how close you ain't to God, whether you are believing or don't believe, want to wear a mask or don't want to wear a mask. COVID doesn't care about your situation. It does not discriminate. It doesn't care about color. It doesn't care about your ethnicity or your beliefs or your culture. It doesn't care. It is a virus and that it attacks. And whoever it attacks, however your immune system is, praise God, is what your testimony will be after, as they say, the COVID. So what I had to learn for me, for Leah, to be able to explain how is it that some people get it and others don't. How is it that people could go to a room with 1,000 people with no mask and not get it, and you can go to a baby shower with 5 people and everybody get it and 4 people die? How does that happen? How is it that ministers and professors and doctors and lawyers and all these people with all this infinite wisdom are dying from COVID? How does this happen when these people know what they're supposed to do? They know to wear the N95 and they wear all the PE and all the other fancy stuff. How is it that God is choosing and selecting who lives, who dies, who gets it, who doesn't? Is that really God or is it the devil? Do we really want to give the devil credit? Or is it your fault because you didn't mask up right, or you didn't wear the right mask, or you didn't wear the right clothes, you didn't wash your hands? We have become so focused on blaming and trying to find answers that we may never, ever know or have the reason to know. Why? Why do some don't? At the end of the day, this is what I was really kind of referring to when she asked me the first time, what did I learn? It don't matter to me because I don't put the moon or the sun in the sky. I don't set the stars. It doesn't matter what Leah thinks. Who cares what Leah thinks? But I wanted to have something a little bit more sophisticated to explain to people. What do I say, Lord? How do I explain that I believe in now faith? That all I have to do is pick up my deliverance and move forward. And so I've watched so many sermons being on my backside. All you have to do is pick up your healing or walk forward. All you got to do is believe and trust. And there are quite a few people believing and trusting that are still going to see Jesus, amen, not working for them. So what does that mean? Well, in my studies, I understand that God will be God and that we are small people when it comes to great and mighty things. I remember years ago when I was taking a ministerial class and they said that in our lifetime, we would never even have 1% of God's wisdom and knowledge. And so while we think that we're entitled to know answers, we feel that we deserve, what did I even said that last week? I think, well, I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. We really can't. We really can't handle the truth. We can't. Because we're too self-absorbed to even believe, did I do that? We're too absorbed to believe that we are responsible for some of this. We're too vain to believe that, wow, these are some principles that we learned when we were children to wash our hands and to how long we should wash our hands and that we shouldn't put our hands in our faces and in our mouths and in our eyes. These are primary things that we learned many, many years ago, but somehow it's somebody else's fault that we have a virus and we have a bug. However, it's somebody else's fault that we ate a lot of potato chips and sodas and we allowed our bodies to get out of shape and that we don't take the proper vitamins, that we don't clean our bodies properly, that we don't eat the right things, we don't exercise, we don't do the right things. So when our immune systems are a little rattled, praise God, they fall apart. But all of it's the volleyball's team or it's the basketball's team or it's whoever didn't wear a mask at the grocery store's fault, when we never take the opportunity to look within. What did I do to my body long before 2020 came around? What was I doing? What was Leah doing with her body? What was I doing that God was telling me no, but I kept doing? When he told me to get up and go walk, and I said, it's cold or it's too hot, I'm tired, I don't feel like it. What could I have done differently that the virus could have been like, oh, wow, I can't hang here because they got too much going on in here. We can't manifest here because she got too many vitamins, she got too many antibodies, we can't hang here. What could I have done differently that my system could have rejected that virus and kept it moving? So I have to take responsibility to my part. And so in taking responsibility to my part, then I can't blame such and such and such because she didn't tell nobody that she had the COVID when she came around me. No, ma'am. We have to stop. And so as I studied the last couple of days and just reading and thinking about, wow. And one of the sermons that I watched was interesting to me, that made me pick up a lot more of my spiritual warfare books to really understand the assignment of the dark side. They don't fight each other. They don't compete with each other. They have an assignment. They, by doing what they're supposed to do, we, those of us that have Christ indoctrinated, stamped with approval, ambassadors of Christ, titles and all other things that we claim, we fight each other. We talk about each other. We blame each other. We don't pray for each other. But I am trying to tell you that this pandemic has a source, and that source is taking the breath of our people. And why is it taking the breath of God's people? It's because that's what we need to live, to have our being. But we're so busy focusing on how and when and who did this and who did that, we're not really listening to God. We're not listening to him tell us what we are to do to help people get their bodies right. Not necessarily your physical body, but your spiritual body right. We are fighting against a foe, not flesh and blood. And that's the funniest part, how simple this really is. It's super, super simple. When the word that though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not with the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretentious thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. When we take captive every thought and make it obedient to ourselves, to the church, we make it obedient to Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. How many of us are catching them thoughts and casting them down as soon as they come? Oh, Lord, I think I'm getting sick. I got the virus. We're not casting nothing down, so we're accepting it, taking it, making it ours, calling it, oh, mine. No, that's not the process, saints. The process of a stronghold is an idea, a habit, an addictive thought in which Satan has set up occupancy in your life, a place where he has advantage. Where is that for most of us that are not focused on the things of God? That would be our mind. And so if we don't know how to cast those thoughts down when they come, praise God, they will grab legs and they will start walking and they will start manifesting in our lives. We have to read. We have to study. We have to show ourselves approved unto God by rightly dividing his word. But how many of us are really doing that? We say we do, but are we really doing it? Are we really picking up a Bible? Are we reading a couple sentences on our phone and calling it a wrap? Are we just watching church programs and then watching the scriptures on the screen and calling that Bible study? Are we doing things? We, as a body of believers, we have the power to have this under our feet. But because many of us are not in agreement, because we're arguing and debating and babbling about not following this regimen or following this one. No, you need to do this vitamin. No, you need to do this milligrams. You need to do whatever, hot, cold, whatever. We're so busy blaming. We're not praying. We're not calling and reading scriptures to each other. Let me pray for you, baby. Put the phone up to your ear. I know you can't talk. I know you know things are going on. Let me read some scriptures to you. Are we sending scriptures to the hospitals and asking people, can you just play this in the room and let these healing scriptures just play in these people's rooms? Did it cross any of our minds to do these things? Or are we just going to debate how we keep getting it and how we keep spreading it? Are we going to just keep talking about the devil's business? A lot of this ain't the devil. A lot of this is us. It's us. It's not the devil. He's sitting back and enjoying because he doesn't fight himself. We fight ourselves. Why do we fight ourselves? Most of it is because Satan did his work a long time ago. All he does is suggest the idea, put the thought in your head, you do the rest. We take it and we invent it and we capsulize it and we put names to it, we put faces to it. And so the funniest thing, I love this scripture, it says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That's see Ephesians 6 and 12. That whole chapter will help you out, I promise you, because it's gotten me back on who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. Praise God. That power is like working his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, this is the funniest thing to me that I think we don't really believe the Bible, including me, that raised him from the dead and seated him on the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that has been given to him. Praise God. Not only in the present age, but also in the ones to come. We have that power, but we don't use it. How come? Because we don't know we have it. We don't know we have it. And so why don't we know we have it? Because we're not reading, because we're not studying our word, because we're not focused on the right thing. Easier for us to get caught up with the Real Housewives of Atlanta and follow, you know, whether Kendra's going to stay married or not and whether he's ruling her life to make sure she keeps custody of her child. We know more about that. I can speak for myself. More about that than me knowing the scriptures that I need to have under my belt to make sure that when I have anything out of line that I can call that and tell that to go back to where it came from, because it can't live here. It can't be here. We have to change our focus. If we're going to live like Jesus, we got to do it for real. A friend of mine was telling me that her minister said, If you go to church Sunday after Sunday and nobody says, wow, I can really see the move of God in your life, or I can see that things are different. You're looking different. You're sounding different. If nobody has said that to you, are you really changing? Or are you just going and watching church online? Is there any change? I have said this so many times that this is has been a goal of mine forever, that I want to be like Moses. Every single time I go to church, every time that I'm in the presence of God, I want there to be somebody to see something. Now, granted, my hair is gray enough already, but amen. If that, let it be all gray to let people know that I've been in the presence of God. Somebody should see a change. My daughter used to crack me up all the time. I just need to go lay at the altar. For what? If you're going to come back the same way, there was no point. You can lay at the foot of your bed and get the same deliverance that you did going sitting at the altar. If you believe what you say you believe, I'm not knocking the church, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying that if you got that much faith that you laying at the steps of a church, amen, you can have that same faith at the bottom of your bed. We got it caught up. We got it mixed up because we're not listening to the right person. We're listening to the enemy. Drop those seeds. No, you know, Bishop T.G. Jakes, if he don't lay hands on you, you can't be delivered. And so we do everything we need to do to save money, rob, not pay bills, whatever, so we can get thinking that T.G. Jakes got the power. When that power is in our bookshelf, because we got several different versions of the Bible in our bookshelf. All we got to do is pick one, read it, believe it, and ask God to manifest in your life. I promise you he'll show up. But you got to believe. But we don't read enough to believe. We don't pray enough to believe. We don't stand on the word to believe. Now, for those of you that have been listening for the past couple of weeks, I've been trying to exercise my faith. That's why I will not do a rerun. As long as I have breath, it may be weak. I may sound like I need to cough or something, but I'm going to share God's gospel. Nobody is taking that away from me. Not if I could do it. If God said I could do it, then hook or crook, I'm going to do it. And so my girlfriend says to me, she's like, Lee, are you trying to prove something to God? Nope. Got nothing to prove to him. I'm proving to my flesh that I have power over this foolishness, that God said that this is an assignment he gave me. I'm going to be about my assignment. It may not look the way that somebody else wants it to look. I may not sound the way everybody's expecting me to sound, but a word is going forth. Somebody's life is changing because I refuse to be quiet. I refuse to sit down and say, well, I'll just do a rerun and don't even know what the word would be. Is it on time? Was it from that time that it was spoken? Or am I going to do what God called me to do and do it right and be about his business? I believe that because I do that, that's what gives me the fuel to do what I need to do. I may be wet when I finish, but praise God, ain't nothing a shower can't fix. Then I can get in the bed and go to sleep. Amen. And keep it moving. But I've done my assignment for the day. Are we pushing to do God's assignment? We do more. At least I know when I was working, I did more. I pushed to get to work to make sure that I got to that clock before a certain time so it wouldn't show me late. I would drive like a, probably can't say it that way, but I would drive crazy to get to work to make sure I could punch that clock so I wouldn't be seen late. But I can't push myself for Jesus, the one that gives me breath, the one that allows me to walk, to work, to do whatever. Saints, we got it twisted. We got to get Satan out of our head and put the word so that the word is focused, so that the word runs true, that we have real doctrine in our minds. I love, 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 love. I guess you said that enough. But I do. I love the word. I really do. I love the word. I love that the word is breathed by God. It's for teaching. It's for the rebuke. It's for correct. It's everything you need. Repent and get in the word and do what God has called you to do. That's why the keys of the kingdom, I didn't get that, why that was so significant. Repent, change, and use the keys I gave you. I gave you the keys to go to the gate. I don't even want to go back down that road, but praise God, get me excited again. Repent, use your key, and then be in his presence. Pray, get in the word, give, do something kind for somebody. Are you kidding me? It is Satan's job to make us believe that we don't have power, that we don't have an assignment, that we don't have God's vision, we don't have his power. When he said in his word, he gave us love. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. I mean, and then on that, he said he didn't even give us the spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And then we just read that all power that Jesus has, we have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. What that means? It means that you can walk away from COVID? I think so. I am. Because I know now what power I have access to. I was confused too, laying and believing that I was supposed to lay in that. Now, I mean, I believe it's a process. Don't get me wrong. And I believe that we're supposed to go to the doctor and we're supposed to make sure because of the things that I did to my body prior to, I can't just walk in. I could if Jesus said I could. But praise God, there's consequences from not using the keys early enough in the game. I wasn't listening, and so I damaged my body. And so because I damaged my body, there's some things that I have to do to make sure that I'm operating in the right body that God designed. Because right now it's not lined up the way he designed it. Because I've abused my body. Granny, I know you're listening. When you told me to wear T-shirts in the wintertime in Minnesota, and I didn't want to put no T-shirt on because it wasn't cool, and we didn't want to wear gloves, and we didn't want to wear boots because they weren't cool in the wintertime when it was below zero, yes. So when I had fever, my hands and my feet were burning. It was because they were frostbitten from how many years ago? 30 years ago? All I had to do was put some right socks and shoes and boots on, And I wouldn't have had some of the challenges that I had a couple of weeks ago had I been obedient to my body. Children, if you're listening, there is a reason why your parents tell you to do certain things, because you will pay for them years to come. You will pay for them. So take better care of your body. You get one. That's all you get, is one body. Take care of it. And so God designed it so perfectly for it to mend itself, but it can't do if you don't do your part. That's why it's so important for us to really read and to study his word. And the things that's not in his word, please ask him. He said that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. I'll give it to you. So, Lord, you know what I'm asking? Okay, Lord, how do I restore this body? It's old, but it ain't that old. So I can do some things different. So show me what I need to do different, because I don't want to be in this situation again, because I have seen and taken a peek into my future, and this ain't it. So show me what I need to do. So you know I'm going to stand on he's the vine and I'm just a branch, because I need all the nutrients I need to make sure that when I move forward, praise God, that I can walk forward in good health, and that I can do the things that God called me with strength and endurance. That I can be a watchful and be alert and be vigilant, not just for me, but for those that God will place before me to pray for, to lead and to walk into and to meditate and help and do whatever is necessary. I can't do that weak. I got to build myself up. And so in order for me to know that God created me, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. And if I'm made in his image, then that means he knows what I need to do to make sure that my image looks like his. And so, praise God, it's going to take a little time to get it together, but praise God, it took some time for me to get away from it. So it's going to take, I'm praying it's not going to take that much time, but praise God, he's going to help me get it together. And when he helps me get it together, as my new mentor says, when we come out the subway, praise God, we're going to be like Superman. Amen. We're going to be buff and cut and tilt, tighten. Amen. We're going to be right, but I got to be right spiritually first. I got to get my mind right. I got to make sure that I understand whose voice I'm listening to. Am I listening to the advancement for the enemy, or am I listening to the voice of God for the advancement of his kingdom? Amen. And so, praise God, I'm going to end on some scriptures that we need to get in our heads. And, I mean, these may not be all scriptures for you, but these are some scriptures that you need to really kind of focus on so that you can, whatever you're going through, praise God, get Satan out of your head, because he is not in control. God is in control. But if you don't have the right scriptures to cast that stuff down, praise God, amen, then they will take feet. I love one of the things that, I don't know, I think I got this from Gruffalo Dollar years ago, but basically it talks about whatever your nature is determines your desires, and whatever your desires determines your actions, and whatever your actions determines your conduct, and then your conduct will determine your character. So if you allow the enemy to plant seeds in your head that, you know, I'm too old, you know, my ship has sailed, I can't do the things that, you know, I believe God laid in my heart to do, because I'm kind of old now, to do such and such and such and such and such. A friend of mine, praise God, she don't even know what she said, and I don't even know if she's listening or not, but praise God. She said, I used to help her, we used to help each other with our disability paperwork for Social Security. And so, praise God, she called me not long ago, and she's like, oh, she said, I've been meaning to tell you, thank you for helping me all the time. She said, but I don't need that kind of help no more. And I said, what you talking about? And she said, mm-mm. She said, I had to get up. I could not allow my handicap to handicap me. She just didn't know. When I put that phone down, how many times I ran around the room shouting. Praise God. That is exactly right. We cannot let our handicaps handicap us. No, ma'am. Why am I believing what the world is saying or what the devil is saying about me when God says that I'm healed and made whole, that by his stripes I'm healed? Are you kidding me? I just got to do my part, so I got to ask him, but what I need to do? What I need to do to fix this? Now, some things, amen, because, and I've been eating a lot of potato chips and a lot of candy, amen. And so some things, praise God, may take a while. But praise God, in the meantime, between times, if Paul could do with a thorn in his side, I sure could do one with mine. Praise God. Just show me what I need to do, Lord. I'm listening to you, and I'm going to be focused on you, and I'm going to meditate on you. So you tell me what I need to do so I can fix it. Amen. And so if you do that, I promise you, your life will change. And people will start to see the change. You got to be the change that you want people to see. Or that you want to see yourself. Amen. And so, praise God. I'm running out of time. So, first scripture. First John. Well, let's go back. I'm going to give you this one first. We're going to cast down the scripture first. 2 Corinthians 10. I got 4 and 5. But praise whichever one you want. But basically, you want to make sure that you cast down all imagination, anything that tries to exalt itself higher than the things of God, praise God, and bring them into captivity, amen, to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to tell you scriptures, and I'll go back. Okay, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, amen. And if you know, 15, that he hears you, whatever you ask, we know that you will have because we asked him. Amen. Praise God. Next one. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Look to the Lord and his strength. See his face always. In front of you, you going to see anybody else? I don't think so. Jesus ain't broke up or broke down. So you ain't going to feel that way or see that way either. Amen. Look to his face. You'll find your strength. Amen. 2 Chronicles 6:21. Hear the supplications of your servants and your people Israel when they pray towards this place. And hear from heaven, our dwelling place, and then you hear and forgive. So praise God. Lord, my whole house, I want you to reside. Let this be your dwelling place right here. So everything that we go through, supplications, whatever we need, Father, you fix it here first. Praise God. Amen. And then, you know, of course, you know this one, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If the people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive them of their sins and heal their land. Okay. Now, that is a lot in that scripture. But praise God. Like, I'm going to go there now. When I teach people how to learn scripture, you learn scripture for you. Amen. Now, Psalms 23 and Psalms 100 and the Lord's Prayer and all them universal scriptures are great for some people. They don't work in every situation. Praise God. You find scriptures that are personal for you. Because when you learn scriptures that are personal for you, they become real for you. You say them how you need to say them, and they become part of you. John 15:5, can't nobody mess that scripture up for me, ever. Because I know it backwards, forwards, from the middle, in the middle, and the back. One word, two words, how they do that song. I can name that song in two, whatever. I can name that scripture with two words, three words, because that's mine. I know John 15:5. When I know that I'm acting crazy, Lord, you divine, I'm sorry, I repent. Let me back up on the branch. Lord, I can't do nothing without you. Boy, I'm tripping. You divine. I'm going to get it together. Oh, Lord, I have fruit that remains. That's right. My fruit remains, praise God, because I live in you. All that's John 15:5. Because I broke it up and made it me. It's mine. You take these scriptures, you make them yours. And so when it talks about you heal my land, okay, well, you can heal the land. But right now, I just need you to help me, to humble me, and help me pray, and help me seek your face so I can turn for whatever else I'm doing that I ain't supposed to be doing. So praise God. All that rest of that part of the scripture is great. But for me, what I need, I need to call your name, and I want you to humble me. And then I need to pray, and I want you to turn my face, turn it from evil. If I'm watching wrong stuff that I shouldn't be watching, turn my face, Lord. Let me see you. Whatever the scripture you need for you, make it for you. You ain't got time whether or not it's your favorite scripture. If it's my favorite scripture, then it's my favorite scripture. It don't have to be your favorite scripture. You find one that works for you and say it until you know it. And so that anytime something goes on in your life, praise God, you can count it joy because, praise God, at the end of the day, sometimes we forget. And even with me knowing my scripture, even with me having quite a few scriptures, I like that word. I don't know why. laying on my bed of affliction. Whew, crazy. When I knew I had scriptures and all I had to do was take up my bed and walk. And so it was funny, the other day I was thinking, I was like, wow, I look like that crazy man at the pool complaining because I can't get in the pool. All I got to do is move. Get in the pool, girl. Quit crying and complaining of not being healed. And get in the water and be dipped. How many times you need to be dipped so you can get back to doing what God called you to do? Quit tripping. And so that's what I'm challenging each of you to do, to stop the madness. Get in the word. That's where your answer, that's where all of our answers lie. And if we can't come together, how can God heal our land if we fight amongst each other? We have to see and put our eyes and everything we have on the things of God so that he can heal us individually so that we can come together collectively. Amen? Okay, praise God. Jeremiah 29 and 12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Ain't nothing like knowing that God hears you. Ain't nothing like it. Nothing like it. John 17:15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And so the evil one, we need to be protected from, because, again, all he does is throws out imagination, but just throws out ideas. And we give them legs. We give it a body. We let it manifest. No more. No more. You're going to cast that thought down. As soon as it comes, you got the COVID. The devil is alive. No. Amen. Lord, what do I need to do? Because you said in your word, if I remain in you, your words remain in me. All I got to do is ask you, what do I do? What I need to do? What I need to do? What, more orange juice? More zinc? More vitamin C? More vitamin D? More which one, Lord? Echinacea? What? Tell me. The internet is your friend. People can tell you. Other people. Talk to people. Instead of us bickering and debating and arguing with each other, do you know somebody that dealt with this? What they do? How they get here? What they do? Show me what they do. What they need to do? Listen, follow instructions, but most importantly, follow the things of God and allow God to be your guide. Let God be your source. And so, if you don't grasp anything from what I've said today, let it be. Praise God, that you have to seek him first. And when you seek him first, everything you need will be added unto you. That scripture, again, a promise, a promise. Y'all gonna make me run in a minute. It is a promise. There are promises in God's word. But if you don't read them, you don't write them down, you don't live by them, put them before you. When it says, what was the scripture? Let you seek your face. Always put that scripture right in your face so you can see it, so you can know it. I have scriptures now around me. Why? Because I need them. So when the enemy throws a dart, I'm like, ooh, bing, 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 bing. And so my daughter's like, we got to watch Wonder Woman. I said, I don't need to watch Wonder Woman. I have my bracelets. I have my scripture bracelets. Amen. The devil, no power here. Nope. I'm not doing it. I'm tired of the ups and downs. I don't want to do this no more. What do I need to do, Lord? Get in the word. And I'm like, Lord, but I am in the word, but you ain't reading the right ones. Get the right scriptures under you. You know what to do. Do it. You know who this attack is from. Get it together. Read the right books. Put that little baby stuff down and get them deep books that you got in that bookshelf and read them. Do what I called you to do, and then you'll be able to do what you need to do. So praise God. Saints, it is time out. We got to step it up. We got to do what God has called us all to do, and that's to be about his business. Because too many people already died. And if we had been what we were supposed to be doing and doing what we were supposed to be doing, the body of believers could have come together and wiped most of this crap out. A lot more people could be living and not dying because they don't know the word. It is our responsibility to tell them. It is our responsibility to tell them. Now, I laugh because I always try to make things about the word. So when Girly Whirly asked me, Lee, what was you supposed to learn? I can tell her now the next time I talk to her. Flesh and blood didn't tell you to ask me that. God told you to ask me that so that I could get my head out the clouds and figure out what I needed to do to stir my own stuff up so I could put my foot in the water and be healed so I could tell people and I can run and tell what needs to be told. Praise God. To help you run and tell somebody what needs to be told so that we all can be soldiers for God. That we can be the mouthpieces, that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We have the same power, but if we don't know how to use it because we don't believe we have it, amen. Our shadows can heal people, praise God. But we got to believe it, and we got to read, and we got to do our part. We got to be motivated to do God's word, amen. Okay, I'm running out of time, but praise God. I pray that you have been encouraged, that you have been empowered, that you have been, you learned something, praise God, get into your word, go to the internet and look up scriptures to heal, whatever you need, deliverance, whatever you need, and memorize them. That's why memory, scripture memory, and meditation is important. Get it together, saints. And then, praise God, come back next week and we'll have another inspiring word. I know my granny's listening, so I always dedicate her song to her. Every praise belongs to God because it does. Every praise belongs to God. And so, again, tune in next week. Try to make sure I didn't get myself excited. Amen. But I'm excited for Jesus. I'm excited what the end is going to be because, praise God, we're going to all move and do this together. Amen. So, every praise belongs to God. Tune in next week. Again, this is Leah Killings on Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And if you didn't get anything today, please follow the ending mantra that we say every week. Start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful
week. Let me hear the worshipers!
Free.